Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. It is Saturday, January the 30th. I'm Richard Dayu, President and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce. And since it's still January, I can officially still wish our listeners a Happy New Year, Prospero Año Nuevo, or Feliz Año, whichever you prefer. It is my great pleasure today to have as our guest Dr. Robert Nachman, who is the Dean of the College of Business at the University of Texas, El Paso. Welcome, Dr. Nachman.
Well, thank you, Richard. Nice to be here. Thank you.
So why don't you educate, no pun intended, our listening audience a little bit about the College of Business and its role with the university itself.
Okay. Well, the College of Business, was formed about 50 years ago. And about 30 years ago, it received its premier accreditation in business. I arrived here in El Paso in 2005, and quite amazingly, I'm still here after 11 years as dean of the college. Usually the tenure of a dean is about 3 years. So I guess they haven't quite found me yet as to what we're doing at the college. We're just being too quiet.
Okay.
The college has basically been, thanks to the work of all our faculty and a lot of new faculty that we've hired and terrific staff, completely been restructured. And restructured really to map onto the goals and mission of UTEP. And that is, by and large, to advance the economic and welfare development of this region. That's the vision of the college. The college is mapped completely on advancing the people of this region. And when I say region, I mean region. I came here because mainly I saw this as a population of three regions, three areas pulled together with a large population in Juarez. I think, as you know, I was in the Air Force station here for some odd reason for a year back in 1970. I spent most of my time then either on base or in Juarez. So I was familiar with Juarez, loved the people in Juarez. You know, I'm from New York, went to undergraduate school in Spanish Harlem. There, the Hispanic population is primarily Cuban, Dominican Republican, Puerto Rican. So Hispanics and I have seemingly always seemed to have acclimated and sort of danced together, let's put it that way. So we went about our business, and thankfully this faculty and the staff that we've hired bought into the vision of the college, and part of the vision of the college was to transform really all of the programs that we were conducting. So I think that, you know, we did that piece by piece, and the first program that we did restructure was the MBA program.
You also have an accelerated MBA program, do you not?
Yeah, what we did was we stepped back and we began to research deeply the nature of the population here in El Paso and Juarez, and our conclusion was that what this population really needed was advanced managerial education, but they needed it to be delivered in an effective and efficient manner. If you look nationally, increasingly the percentage of people attaining their MBA degree are working full-time and going to school on a part-time basis. But you'll also find that most part-time MBA programs are really very not very productive. Less than 50% actually finish any of the part-time MBA programs they begin. And the reason for that is that it usually takes 4 years to finish a part-time MBA program. We stepped back and assessed how could we deliver logistically a state-of-the-art, full-blown MBA program, but to do so in a manner that the students in this region or the employees and managers in this region could participate in these programs, and how could we go about making it as effective and efficient for them. So all our students now finish the MBA program regardless of how they come to school in 2 years or less. Before, we had a completion rate of about 50%, which was the national norm. Now we have a completion rate of about 95%.
That's phenomenal.
And the residual is basically people who, you know, they came into the program and they said, whoops, I really wanted a V8. This isn't for me. Right. And they just backed up. But it wasn't because they couldn't perform or they couldn't keep up. So we have three formats of the MBA program. And each is designed for a different segment of our population here. The accelerated MBA program is really designed for what I would refer to as the mid-level manager. somebody that's been working for 5 years or so and is interested in advancing themselves in the enterprise in which they're employed. That program is 2 years. We wanted to make sure that professional students live in an environment that feels professional to them, that they're treated as professionals. I've always been a great proponent of your environment in which you live induces you to behave consistent with your surroundings. And so we've made an early decision to work with UTEP to assess how we could put our enterprise for MBA programs in the middle of the city, design it so that it would be professionally kept, efficiently run. We were fortunate that a number of leaders of the local economy at that time were working hard at building downtown, redeveloping downtown. And we saw our enterprise downtown as being a place where we would bring 300 students every evening into the life of downtown El Paso, and I think we've been successful in doing that. So that program basically runs four nights a week, Saturday mornings. Students enter either in the fall or the spring. 2 years later, they finish. They know exactly what course they're going to take at every point in those 2 years. They know when they're going to be in school, and they enter those classes as cohorts. So if you and I started together in the fall of 2011, we would have finished in August of 2013. We'd be taking most of our classes together.
So for clarification purposes, in this program, those students that are in the cohort mm-hmm. are going to classes four nights a week?
No, they go to school. Each student goes to school two nights a week.
Two nights a week.
Two nights a week. They take one course every 6 weeks. So it's very focused. That gives them the ability. Remember what these folks are mainly doing. They're managing typically their families. They're managing a full-time employment, and they're managing school. The data is going to show you that they can do that much more effectively when they stay focused on one subject. So they're in class the same number of hours, but they're basically focused on completing one subject. We align all the subjects so they sequentially process in a way that adds value to them, and they move from course to course. And the result is in the evidence. 95% of these students finish the program.
Well, I can attest to it because the chamber has employed today a couple of folks who have gone through the MBA program with UTEP through the downtown location that you mentioned. We should tell people where that's located.
Well, we're located at the Chase Bank building downtown. We were very fortunate. We were able to acquire two floors in the building that are very efficient and effective for us, that provide us with security for our students and the coursework that's being conducted. And students can easily move between the two floors. It's always full. It's always busy. And there is no unused space. Let me just add here, by the way, since you mentioned the partnership really that we've had really since I've been here with the Chamber, that when we first began to develop this program, it took us a while to sell UTEP on us being able to move downtown. And the nature of El Paso is such that we clearly work together and help each other. I can remember the time when we came to the Chamber and said we need a space to conduct this program because we didn't have the downtown facility at that time.
Yes, I remember.
And I knew we were being cumbersome. You know, you had to keep the electricity on a little bit longer. The HVAC in the summer had to be blowing a little bit hotter. Not easy to do. And after a year or two, we were able to convince the campus that this was the right thing to do. And I think everybody agrees it's been a successful thing to do.
I want to tell you, I've never had an easier job convincing the Chamber's leadership, our board in particular, to do something than when I went to them and said, College of Business would like to conduct their accelerated MBA program here in the Chamber, and we'd like to support them. They're going to do it in the evening hours. They won't conflict with our meetings. We want to help them out. What's in it for us? I said, absolutely everything. We're going to be helping them set a trend in this community, and we're going to end up employing some of the people that are going to finish this program. And, I mean, it was about a five-minute conversation.
Well, you know, Richard, you just hit on something that I've found really since I've been here and kind of had a sense that it would be like this. People in this community, when they hear an idea, they intuitively can get a sense, does it make sense? And if they do, the leadership of this community comes and participates. And that was clear with the Chamber. And it's clear on many of the corporations that are in this region. So it's been very it's been successful to us over the last 8 years with this revision of the program. We've graduated about 1,500 MBA students. The majority of those are in El Paso or in Juarez. Some are in New Mexico. And so we hope that we've been a contribution to the development of the region.
Well, that's super. And I want to share with our listening audience, because you're far too humble to say it about yourself, but I've worked either in the 12 years I've been at the Chamber and in my previous life as a volunteer at the Chamber. I've worked very closely with UTEP for many, many years. I can tell you honestly, there is a reason, putting aside your self-deprecation a moment ago with regard to not knowing how they've not gotten rid of you so quickly. The reality of it is you've been the best thing that's ever happened to the College of Business. We're very proud to have you in our community. And I also want our audience to know you've been a pretty solid member of our governing board at the Chamber as well. And I think the partnership that the Chamber has with you is indicative of the greater partnership in the community that's growing between the business sector and the education sector, recognizing that we cannot accomplish either sector what we want without the help of the other.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's a national – frankly, I'm on a number of committees globally, and this issue is an issue throughout the world today. In every country there's a gap between the corporate environment and the academic environment. That's not necessary, and we might not have time to discuss it today, but there's a number of initiatives happening in El Paso and Knockwood. They began with a number of the corporations here and the College of Business to integrate corporate life and the academic life into the life of students so that students are better prepared to enter the workforce, not only prepared academically, but cognizant of what does it need, what is necessary to run an enterprise today. Very exciting stuff.
Well, we at the Chamber, and I know a lot of businesses in El Paso also, have a number of interns that we bring in from the university. I will tell you firsthand that I feel very fortunate, very blessed. Most of those kids who come in, young adults, who do their internships with us, are rock stars. They pick it up very quickly. You don't have to sit down and explain to them why it is you need to dress the way you're supposed to be dressed or conduct yourself the way you are. They observe the professional conduct of the more senior, mature adults that are in the workforce, and they instinctively begin to try and emulate them so that they can then also be recognized with a degree of respect that carries with it the value for them of developing self-respect. Because a lot of these young folks, when they're in, particularly in elementary, middle, and high school, don't get exposed to that culture until it's not too late, but it's certainly a time for them to then have to ramp up.
Yes.
Because they just have never had that kind of exposure. So maybe touch a little bit on what that is like for you at the college and how important that is to you.
Well, let me suggest that, you know, I now have been the dean here for 11 years, and I'm proud to say that there's never been a day that I've been embarrassed about regarding one student in that college. I attend a number of meetings with deans from all over the country. This is, I can tell you, unheard of today. I've never met a student in my building who appeared or either was observed to be off color, either in treating each other in the manner in which they behaved. It's sad to say, but on many campuses today, there are students that, you know, they arrive at class. They've obviously been out till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Our students arrive. They look like they're going to work. They're in typically business attire, business casual attire. They're pressed. They're clean. They interact with each other well. A lot of group work going on in the business school. I must say, I don't know that we're doing anything to develop that. We create an environment where we want more of that. But the families that these young men are coming from have clearly instilled in them that when they enter this education place, it's a place where they are present in order to achieve their futures. They take that seriously. They respect the college. They respect each other. So this group of individuals that we have here going to school, they take nothing for granted. They don't feel that they're endowed. They feel that whatever they need, they have to work for. They achieve that, and they go off for great, really for great, build for themselves great futures. And I take pride in all of them.
And I think, honestly, coming from the work aspect of it, the labor aspect, I really think it is one of the biggest selling points that I know that the Borderplex uses and our mayor uses when they go out, and that is it is the work ethic and the culture of our regional community.
Regional community, for sure.
That it differs entirely. I see it everywhere I go in the country. In contrast, that what am I missing here? Why are these students, and I recognize if you're in the College of Business, you have a different, as a student, you have a different perspective in general than perhaps a student who is in liberal arts or fine arts. Having gone to UTEP as a liberal arts student, I can attest to that firsthand that I probably didn't fit into your mold that you just described when I first got. And I started here in 1971 because, like you, I was in the Air Force as well. And
yeah, I knew
I got
that.
Out in 1970. And so there was sort of a rebellious mindset that existed then. But I look around the campus today, even as I walk through to go to meetings with Dr. Natalicio in the administration building, I see students who are obviously in all these different colleges on the campus, and they all seem to be well-behaved. They seem to be well-groomed, even for kids who at this stage in life, you know, want to demonstrate some sort of rebellion. I can speak to that for even my own 19-year-old son. There's a student here at UTEP that he, you know, he surely looks, he makes me prouder today of him than my parents were of me when I was a student.
Well, and you recognize that, you know, the majority of our students are not coming from families that have large income levels. And yet, I've never seen a student that appeared to be not clean in their, just in their personal demeanor or in their physical self. And to me, that's a dimension, frankly, of their success, even if they don't know it. One of the things that we do in the business school from the day a student enters, really, and conducts orientation, is that we build the mindset that their education is built on three prongs: the academic coursework that they'll take in their specific majors and curriculum, the experiential activities that they're going to conduct beginning the day they enter, either working in internships or activities that are going to be conducted that are corporate-related or organizational-related. And the third is professional development. So our students start entering into professional development workshops in ethics, in ethical behavior, in how to sit and eat, in how to dress, in how to interact with others, and how to deal with conflict, not to be too aggressive, you know, stand your ground, but you're not there to go to battle with anyone. You're there simply to have a logical conversation to get to a goal. Don't lose sight of your goal, but don't become too aggressive.
Approximately how many students are in the College of Business today?
About 3,200.
3,200?
Yes.
And do you have an idea how many of those are in the MBA program?
About 300.
300. That's great. A couple of thoughts I wanted to share with you and a couple of questions that I have for you. I think we only have about 10 minutes left in the show. I would like to know, before the show ends, from your perspective, and by the way, I hope you're going to do this for a significantly longer period of time, what would you like, if you could snap your fingers and get funding from Austin through Dr. Natalicio, what's your wish list? What do you want to see in the next 5 years for the College of Business?
Well, if I'm speaking directly to President Natalicio, I think she knows my wish list, but for us to be competitive nationally, not just locally, but nationally, this college, you'll find that most business schools, someone steps up and says, I want my name on that college. That transforms the nature of a business school. It makes a statement that the quality of education and what's taking place there is of such a high level that I want my name associated with it. What usually would come with that is an ability to create sort of things of value that do not arrive through state funding. You know, the state of Texas is fairly, you know, fairly stringent on the dollars that they distribute. Whatever we do in our college that isn't directly related to the classroom, we have to acquire those funds ourselves. We've been pretty successful at that in the business school. We probably increase our budget by about 30 to 35% every year by things that we do to do that.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, so that works for
and
us.
Those dollars come through grants?
Through grants, through gifts,
investors,
endowments, gifts. Really, the commitment of people in the region. We don't have a lot of public companies here. For a business school in an urban setting, that usually becomes an issue. It hasn't been a major issue for us. But that's what I see as the next step for the college. Receive sort of a, you know, we've had a lot of national recognition. We've been recognized in Washington. We've been recognized systematically, especially for the MBA program, but not solely. You know, we're ranked nationally third in finance. We're ranked fifth in marketing, fifth in accounting for undergraduate students. Most people don't know these things. And part of the problem, that's another issue, frankly, that if anything, I know you know the business school well. But, you know, isolation, we know we're isolated here in El Paso. That creates sort of you know, sometimes the people you don't pay as much attention to as you should are your own family members. That's similar. I'm sure that everyone in this community takes the chamber for granted. And yet without the chamber, how many things would disappear in this region? And to many extent, that's what UTEP is, and that's certainly what the College of Business is. We become used to things, right? And we don't really step back and assess what would the environment look like if this wasn't present and present at the level and the quality that it is. So I think that's the first thing. I think what would follow from that is we'd build a new business complex. There's some discussion of us doing that with the good wishes of our state legislature and a few other, you know, ducks to fall in a row. We may be able to do that. I know that the president would like us to come back to the campus, you know, that may happen. I'm sort of indifferent on that. I think coming back to the campus has value in many ways, but being in the mix of the city and in the downtown area, I think contributes, you know, to the city in a different way.
If I may, that's an interesting perspective, and I surely don't want to get on the wrong side of Dr. Natalicio. If you're listening, Dr. Natalicio, I promise you I'm not saying this to get on your bad side. But one of the things I noticed recently, well, I travel quite a bit in my job, as you do, but I was in Phoenix not very long ago, and, of course, Arizona State has
ubiquitous.
Quite literally transformed the downtown of Phoenix.
Yeah.
They have. I remember not too many years ago going to Phoenix and staying in a hotel downtown and asking myself, why am I here and what can I possibly find to do down here? Is it time for me to get out of here? And, oh, by the way, is it even safe for me to be walking down here? Today, it's exactly the opposite. And so there's been a benefit to the entire community of Phoenix by the university having, you use the word ubiquitous, and it is. I mean, they're dominant, clearly. And it would certainly not be anyone's expectation here with the, I think, maybe one of the most beautiful campuses in America is right here at UTEP.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't have a visitor who comes here that I don't take them on a tour of the campus here at UTEP because it's so striking, so beautiful. But at the same time, I would like for the university and the doctor to consider what the value proposition is for the university to complement one another, speaking of the downtown area, by keeping some kind of a presence down there, because I think ultimately it really does help economic growth in the downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sharing a thought. This is not an official position of the chamber, so please don't beat up on me.
Part of our original vision of being downtown was not only to contribute to to the downtown development overall, but also to be more proximate to Juarez. When I first came here, I just was following my students around for a while and decided I was going to try to walk back and forth across these bridges. So I did so once a week for about the first year I was here. Now, I must tell you, as a New Yorker, waiting on that line, those bridges would have come down.
Yeah, pretty you know, quickly.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah, I agree.
But I learned something about the patience of the population on both sides of this border and the endurance of the population on both sides of this border. And it was impressive. And from that, sort of I drew the conclusion that somehow we need to make that easier. So our being downtown really was part of it was to try to attract more and more of the managerial personnel from Juarez to be able to more easily attend the program.
And has, in fact, has that happened?
It's happened until we ran into a lot of the violence in Juarez, which right. slowed down a lot of that. We've had a general decrease of Mexican nationals or people traversing late in the evening, which is when these programs would naturally go.
Right.
But that's starting to turn around.
Yeah, well, hopefully we want to hope that the Juarez violence
has ended,
which has subsided dramatically, will stay in that particular environment.
Precisely.
And become a safer community for us so that we can all benefit.
We're working hard at that. I think the whole community and region is working hard at that.
Yeah. Well, Dennis has cued me again that this is a quick 30 minutes that we seem to have gone through.
Well, it's always a quick 30 minutes with you, Richard.
Well, you and I, we blend well together. We enjoy each other's conversations, and I always learn something new from you every time we talk. So I want to make sure that before the program ends, I take this opportunity to thank you, not only for taking the time to be on the show with us today, but to thank you for all you've done for the university system here and for the College of Business in particular. I have not met anyone in the community who has dealt with you in the College of Business who do not have just the most wonderful, respectful things to say about the success that you've had. And it's doing great part to your vision and to your seemingly boundless energy to make this all happen. So I thank you again. Again, for those of us who are still celebrating New Year, January 30th, Happy New Year to all of you. This is the end of our January programming for El Paso Primetime. I want to thank you all for participating with us today. And again, Dr. Nachman, thank you.
Well, thank you, sir.